is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk in association with bizradio.co.uk. We're back. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Yes, do you still remember how to drive this vehicle?
Well, I had to think about all of that.
Did you even drive your car?
It all came flooding back.
Am I muffled?
No, okay. You've got a summer dress on.
Well, it is zebra print. I'm not sure if that's allowed anymore.
Right.
But we won't go there, will we?
No, absolutely.
This is a friendly radio station.
That's true. We've been away. Well, I have anyway. I've been out of action for 3 weeks.
I know, lolling at home. But this is what happens, Paul Andrews, when you have a holiday.
Right, okay. You're having trouble with your headphones, aren't
That's
you?
All right, I'm ever the professional. I shall carry on. Ah, I've done something.
Have you turned it up?
Yeah.
That always helps.
I'll tell you why. Right. Because the music was very loud.
You turned it down, hadn't you? And you'd forgotten. You're a nightmare.
I'd rather blame it on you.
Yeah, I know. She's just written a trouble report as well on the tech support line saying my headphones don't work.
Yeah. But I have to say, it's been quite a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, so basically I went on holiday.
Yeah.
And that's unheard of.
How very dare you?
Do you know, in the 12 years we've been doing the show, I've only been away twice. There's only twice. And
once was you were frolicking in Disneyland.
I was, yeah. And the lovely Laura Lawrence stood in for me.
Yeah.
And once I went away and you stood in for me.
With a new husband.
Yeah. So I thought I'd chance it again this time. Only we came up with a clever idea of pre-recording the show.
Yeah.
Which worked quite nicely.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I couldn't come back. I got under house arrest for 2 weeks.
So what did you do? Nothing. You couldn't do anything. What is... Because I haven't been quarantined.
Yeah.
So what is quarantine like?
It's awful. You know what? You're not even allowed to take the dog for a walk.
So it's worse than lockdown?
It's much worse than lockdown. You can't go out at all.
So how do you get food in?
Well, basically, this is the problem. We starve to death almost. So I can't see. There's nothing of me.
I know.
Yeah.
I had to look twice, actually, as I came in the studio. You know, there's just a little gap behind where you normally sit. And you're so slim.
Exactly. Now, basically, you have to rely on deliveries.
So what about, for example, Amanda's horse, which is an essential...
Don't even go there.
Got to muck it out.
Don't even go there. Put a little rug on. Don't even go there.
The amount of
grief we had over that, and unhappiness. Luckily, she had friends that agreed to do it for her. Otherwise, we would have had real problems.
Mm.
They haven't thought this through at all.
But also not to be able to walk your dog. If you've got I know your dog's fairly elderly, like my dog, Cassie, but if you've got a young Springer Spaniel or something, they're going to be climbing the walls, chewing everything.
It's nonsense.
Yeah.
The whole thing is nonsense.
If you walk, you just don't speak to it. You know, I've just walked down the corridor and saw someone, and I just kept my distance and let him come through the corridor, and then I went out the other way.
We live in the country. We've never seen anyone on a dog walk ever. the whole thing's nonsense. Anyway, it was horrible because you couldn't do anything. You couldn't go out at all. You couldn't have any exercise.
How do they keep the law going, the rule?
Well, this is what a lot of people said was just ignore it. But I don't, you know.
You do what you're told because it's... Well, you're a law-abiding person.
I'm a law-abiding person, and I don't agree with the law, but the law is there, and therefore I complied with it.
And do they check up? They can't.
No.
There's no way they can check on
everyone. The theory is that they do random checks where they just randomly turn up to see if you're in.
Yeah, we've got the manpower for that, haven't we?
Yeah.
You can be burgled and they don't come, so... sorry, policemen. I do love policemen, but...
Yeah.
Especially in the uniform, darling.
But, you know... They didn't check. I mean, if you'd have popped to the shops or popped the dog out, you would have probably got away with it. But then what's the point of having a law?
And what's the point of creeping about?
So anyway, we stayed in for 2 weeks, basically.
And you had your birthday.
And I had my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Did you get my card?
I did, thank you.
Good.
Yeah.
Took me hours to do that.
I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't get the pixelation right. Was it all blurred?
No, it wasn't. I had to hold it at arm's length to read it.
That's just your eyes, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I I did it in a rush because, you know, when you know you're going to go and see someone for their birthday, you get lulled, don't you? And you think, oh, I'll get the present on, I was coming to see you on Saturday. Oh, I'll get the present on Thursday, you know. And being a Gemini, I like to do things, you know.
It's like Christmas when you go out and buy all your presents on Christmas Eve, that kind of thing, the garage.
I used to be very organised for Christmas and I'd buy my presents in September and then forget I'd bought them all and then go and buy another lot in a mad frenzy on December the 15th. So that doesn't work for me either. But I got lulled and then I suddenly thought, oh my goodness, I must do this card. But I do think the pixelation was... I'd like to see the end result.
It was okay. It was okay.
Have you recycled it yet?
No, I've still got it. It's still on my mantel shelf.
And what picture? I didn't put the tutu on, did I? I think I restrained myself for putting... There was a picture on the back of you, but it wasn't tutu.
Yeah, no, it wasn't tutu.
You haven't looked at the back yet, have you?
I didn't see the back. No, I looked at the front.
It's like the solar present, which stayed in your drawer for 105 years.
No, it didn't. It's on my gate.
I know this vague, blank look.
Anyway, I need to tell you this. Because
changing the subject.
It's almost time for our first guest.
Who's
and we haven't
sponsor?
Done anything. We've got a new show sponsor.
We have.
And the Business Bunker Radio Show is pleased to partner with KO Digital. That's KAYO, KO Digital. Follow them on the Twitter, KO_digital. And they're our partners for this week's show. And they're Kent's leading technical agency. They help ambitious companies that want to grow succeed through the best use of digital technology. You can find out more about what they do by going to www.ko, that's KAYO, .digital, ko.digital. Thank you so much for supporting us. We really do appreciate it.
And we have a great show. We've got a sort of a social media show, haven't we, Paul Andrews?
We have.
And a sort of legal show, am I right? Well, with Lock Associates?
Yeah, Lock Associates, HR legal specialists. And of course, it's now September, so all the furlough rules are changing. So we're going to be discussing what some of the new rules are and what some of the things are that need to happen as we go forward. We're going to be looking at legislative changes, how to phase employees back into work and things like that. So we're looking forward to that shortly. We'd love to hear from you, though. Now we're back and you can tweet us live. That would be lovely if you did. You can tweet me at VanillaWeb or at Jules Serkin and use the hashtag BBunker, please. We have had a few tweets already, but we need more. Come on, tweet.
Well, we've had one come in on the timeline, on my timeline, from Green City Whole Foods, Paul Andrews. And they say, we're always happy when there is a chance to shout about Organic September. It's Organic September.
Oh, is it?
And Green City Whole Foods are a co-op, a cooperative, I think that means.
Yep.
Rather than a coop, as it's written. They're a sustainable, worker-owned cooperative, nourishing change since 1978. So... they're almost as old as you and I.
Blimey.
I reckon.
Yeah.
And they're in Scotland and beyond, but they're great, great... I've been following them for a while, and they're very into the future of the high street as well. So give them a follow. They're at Green City Whole Foods. It's Green City COOP, coop, co-op, it means, of course. I'm being silly. It's not a chicken coop. And the lovely Amanda Flanders is listening in. Hello to you. And she says, she agrees. Quarantine wasn't fantastic, but we did okay, even though the whole thing was completely ridiculous. Thankfully, I had two amazing friends looking after my horses. And that's good. And there's a good gif or a gif of neighing horses. And Telcare, Paul Andrews, have popped up. They've been very busy, I know. And they say it's nearly time to skip over to kentbusinessradio.co.uk with VanillaWeb and Jules Serkin for the Bee Bunker show. And they've used the Bee Bunker hashtag, so extra points for them.
Fantastic. We had a tweet from Mopower.
Oh, the lawnmower people.
The lawnmower people. Mopower, followed by the number one, is their Twitter handle, Mopower1. And they say, yes, please, we are Mopower in Harrietsham. And we have a mower clearance sale on right now. And we are stocking up with all those tools you need for autumn jobs. Come and see our amazing battery garden equipment showroom and join the Green Garden Revolution. And that's Mopower, based in Harrietsham.
Well, I'm going to go and try one of their mowers, Paul. And they've just been to the lovely Grand Hotel for a little weekend. They hadn't had any time off for 100 years.
Yeah, and just going back to what they do, it's garden equipment that's battery-powered, as I understand it.
Yeah.
So it's all kind of green stuff.
made me think, you know, this morning I asked my Alexa, which we call Echo for various reasons. We've got Alexas in our group. And
does it resonate with her?
Well,
Echo, resonate. Echo. Where do I find
them?
We
did that. I don't know. It's just exhausting. But we were screaming Alexa, and we had an Alexa with us, and it was just awful because, you know, we were going, make the tea, do this, do that, you know. But I asked her today if it would rain. I want to know whether I wear my zebra print or not. And she said, there is no rain. And I looked out the window, it was raining. Uh-huh. And I said, Echo, is it going to rain today? And she said, there is no rain today. And then she said to me, may I ask you a question? She just blurted out of the blue. I jumped out my skin. And she said, have you had trouble getting through to me, you know, lately, the words of that FET robot was. And actually, sometimes they are a bit deaf and we have to really shout and scream.
Mm-hmm.
And the new husband, we found it quite stressful. We've got four around the house. And he's doing it from his phone now because we were just shouting, Echo, stop! You know, and it got really stressful. But the fact that she's chirping up on her own... is a bit...
She becomes sentient.
Yeah. It's a bit much, really, yeah. You know.
Yeah.
We didn't invite her in to the conversation.
Oh, I like it. I've had a tweet from the lovely folks at Colin Bat Removals.
Oh, they, storage.
Yeah, and they say, please give us a shout-out today, Vanilla Web. We're here to help if anyone needs any storage or removal services, especially due to COVID, with excess stock, downsizing, or anything like that. If you want to find out more, go to colinbatremovals.co.uk/storage-Kent. That's Colin Bat with a double T, colinbatremovals.co.uk/storage-Kent. Do check them out. They're lovely folks there.
And my lovely mate, Bob Beattie, who helped me when I was going all around Scotland and Skye and giving me various really, really helpful places to go. He says UK manufacturing grows at fastest rate for 6 years in August.
Yeah,
which is great. Are there any charts? Shall I ask him if he can send me any?
Yeah, there's probably some charts about. I've seen a few, I have to say. Do you remember... Amanda Finn, that from Gunnan's Employment, she used to be a regular listener to the show.
Yeah, I do.
Well, she's tweeted a really interesting... I tweeted an Athelbrae blog about the Survivor tree.
Yeah.
And she's sent me a picture of the actual tree.
What does it look like?
A tree.
Oh, come on. Come on, describe it.
Well, it's just
it.
A tree.
Well, it can't just be
well,
a tree.
Well, it's got a trunk.
Is it a silver birch, a willow, apple?
No, I couldn't tell you what it is, to be honest. And I'm usually pretty good with trees.
Conker?
I don't know what kind of tree it is.
Is it a big, wide one, or is it a thin, tall one?
It's about 12 foot tall, and it's bushy and green, and there's a fence around it.
So it's a bushy tree.
Yeah, well, why don't you look on her Twitter handle?
Well, I will.
Gullens_HR_law. Just check it out, and there's a picture of the survivor tree there.
Survivor tree, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't heard from them for a while, so it's nice to know that they're around.
Yep.
Yeah, here she is. Go on, I want to tell you
about this as well, because I'm really pleased for these guys. They've done a fantastic job. This is the Kent Deaf Children's Society, and they say, we did it. Yeah, we did it. Our members have completed the 361-mile virtual challenge from Land's End to the White Cliffs of Dover over the last few weeks, and we've now crossed the finishing line. We have had lots of wonderful posts from people out on their walks or runs, cycling activities, and while everyone has been keeping fit, they've also been helping us to raise £542 for our lovely charity, which is a huge achievement and much needed funds. Have a look at some of the photos on our Facebook page. Thank you so much to everyone involved going for walks and sponsoring us. It's not too late to donate, and we would be very grateful for any money you could give us, no matter how small. If you want to make a small donation to the Kent Deaf Children's Society, it's uk.virginmoneygiving.com/charityweb/KDCS sponsored walk. That's virginmoneygiving.com/charityweb/KDCS sponsored walk. Or check them out on their Facebook page.
What's the end date for that? Sorry, I was looking at Gullens Law.
It's open at the moment.
Okay, so that's good. So you'll put that on kentbusinessradio.co.uk. How diligent of you.
I'll tell you what, let's have some tunage.
Before our guest.
And then we'll get our guest on the phone.
Oh, I've got a guess. I'm a bit rusty. I've been away. And
yeah, I noticed you weren't talking very much.
No, too many pints of ale at my free house.
Yeah. Here we go.
You're going to play it? I love this. This is a Lighthouse Family Licorice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love this.
Rain, 'cause we'll get through it anyway. We'll get up and start again. 'Cause we could be lifted, lifted, lifted. We could be lifted from the shadow.
I just love that song.
Do you?
Yeah, uplifting. But I love the choir bit at the end, you know.
Do you?
Do you?
Yeah, it's good. I played it just for you, didn't I?
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I feel lifted now.
Oh, good.
Is Pam here?
She is. We're now joined by our first guest of the week on the phone by the lovely Pam Locke of Locke Associates Group. Good afternoon, Pam.
Afternoon to both of you.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I feel uplifted too.
Yeah, it was good. It's a good song.
Yeah.
I bet you've been really, really busy, haven't you, Pam?
We have been busy, and it's not some of the work. I mean, a lot of it is to do with what we're calling right sizing, restructuring. Yeah. So it's not positive work. But then, you know, it is unfortunately affecting all of us. So we've just got to try and work our way through it.
Now, before we get down to the nitty gritty, am I sensing a little touch of the Scottish?
Don't be careful. Before you answer that, Pam, be careful here, because Jules has just been on holiday to Scotland, and she's been annoying everyone with this bloody fake Scottish accent.
I'm afraid my Scottish accent is, I'm so old that I do Dr. Finlay. Janet, you know, it's not very good. I'm not going to do it, Pam. But am I getting a little hint of Scottish?
Yes, I've been working my way down the East Coast. So I started out from Dundee, went to Edinburgh, then on to Newcastle and Durham, then on to London, and ended up in Tunbridge Wells. But we've also got an office in Brighton now.
Okay.
I'm not planning to go over the water to France. So.
Well, I went camping, which, because of COVID, I would not have chosen to go camping in a camper van. But, you know, I loved it. It was great. And we did all of the, the 500 route, and went to...
Did you go with the Proclaimers?
The Isle of Skye. Yeah, we did. We sang that the whole way.
Yeah.
And let's just talk, before you discuss your business, let's just talk about Scotch pies.
Amazing.
One day I ate 3 Scotch pies in one sitting.
I've got to tell you, Pam, we're going to talk sensibly in a minute, but I've got to tell you, all the time she was away, she kept sending me pictures of battered haggis.
Battered haggis. Amazing. And when it's done, and of course the salmon. I mean, the salmon is just, it's like no salmon I've ever had in my life. It was just incredible. And I'm talking about just going into a local butcher's and buying some smoked salmon that we brought home, and then having salmon in a little cafe. Oatcakes, Duncan's of Deeside. Duncan's of Deeside, they're on my Twitter, Pam, you'll see them. Amazing oatcakes. I mean, they knock spots off another one, which won't be mentioned, which is available in all supermarkets. Amazing. I loved it. I loved the hospitality, the food, the people.
I did warn you, Pam. I'm sorry. She goes off on one.
Yeah. And the
anyway.
No, I've just got to say one more thing. Pam, he's pointing at me to stop. He's trying to cut me off. But let's do a whole Scottish show another time. But the scenery, it is gobsmacking. Every corner you go, the colour, the scenery, it's incredible, isn't it?
And what was the weather like? Was it raining all the time?
We were very lucky. We had, I think, just one day of rain. It was mostly, my husband had the bit between his teeth, and he had to see the whole of Scotland in 10 days. So we did a hell of a lot of driving, and it seemed to be sunny when we were driving, and then we'd get out. But no, on the whole, the weather was great. I got attacked by a midge or two, but I don't seem to get bitten too much like some people. So,
I mean, it's a fantastic country, especially if the weather's nice. If it's raining, it's not quite pleasant. But
yeah, but then
you had a really great time.
It was great, and let's all go back, and the people were just lovely, and you know, supporting local, very important. My husband bought whiskey, of course. If you go to Scotland, please make sure that you go into the little shops, because they are struggling there, Pam, and a lot of hotels were closed with curtains drawn and stuff, so that was sad. But we made sure that we supported, even buying a coffee or something. Paul's just gone to sleep now, so I'm going to hand you back, but any time you want to talk to me about Scotland.
Well, you could do a Scottish show for Thursday.
Yeah.
1st of Jan, if you're working that day.
Yeah, I will definitely do that. You and I organise it.
We could do remote haggis tasting.
Yeah.
And whiskey tasting.
I think we've established that Jill's had a nice time in Scotland.
Yeah, I did.
Pam, thank you so much for joining us and putting up with Jules and her Scottish stories. You escaped the faux accent, and that's a benefit for all of us. But can we kick off? Just tell us a little bit about, you mentioned that you've got an office in Brighton, so just tell us a little bit about Lock Associates Group, your history and what you do and where you are.
Sure. So I set up the business in 2007, just before the last recession. And initially I set up Lock Employment Law and HR Advise Me, and HR Advise Me is a business that provides day-to-day HR support for businesses. And since then we've extended it, so we've now got 4 distinct areas of Lock Associates Group. And they work together and they work independently as well. And we provide a pretty unique combination of employment law services, HR, well-being, looking after your staff, right. Health and safety, and mediation as well, if you want to avoid getting into court. It's a good route to use mediation as an alternative way
sure.
to resolve
yeah.
disputes. And we work, you know, we work with what we call a flexi retainer, where you can just pay a minimum amount each month, and it pays for the services across the group as well. Because you don't always need an employment lawyer to help you.
Sure.
But you might need some employment law advice sometimes. Mm. But you might need more HR support on a day-to-day basis, particularly if you don't have your own in-house HR team. Mm. So it's designed to be as flexible as it can be across the different businesses. But as I say, we also work independently as well.
Sure. No, that's cool. And as you made reference to while you were trying to get a word in edgeways with Jules, there's a lot happening in the HR and legal world at the moment.
Hugely busy.
Yeah, for understandable reasons. As you said, a lot of it's kind of sadly negative. But there again, you know, we need to handle these things, and we need to handle them properly and sensitively. So it is important that we understand what we're doing, because so many businesses are being dragged into this at the moment because of the epidemic and because of the lockdown and the damage done to businesses. So and also, we've just entered September, when a lot of the legislation's about to change. So let's focus on some of those things to start with. I mean, at the moment, we've been in lockdown. A lot of businesses have locked down and furloughed their staff on 80% of their salaries. But that's about to change, I understand.
Well, the difference is that from September onwards, the cap that the government is prepared to pay towards is changing. So you'll only be able to claim back 70% up to £2,187.50, to be precise. So that's changed, because in the past it was 80% up to £2,500.
Yep.
And then the other difference is that you're also, as an employer, now having to make a contribution towards pension and towards national insurance contributions. So September is seen an increase in involvement, if you want to look at it that way, from the employer, and a change in and a reduction in what the government is prepared to do to support you while you furlough staff. So it's only in relation to staff that are still furloughed. A lot of businesses obviously are taking advantage of flexi furlough, where they've got staff that are maybe furloughed for a few weeks and then unfurloughed and back at work. And also, unfortunately, some businesses are now looking at whether they actually need the staff back at all, and whether they now need to look at redundancies.
Pam, with the flexi furlough, is that how perhaps some businesses are managing bubbles, you know, to work in bubbles for the team?
Yes. Yeah, that's a really good point, Jules. That's how a lot of businesses are trying. So at the moment, a lot of businesses are still adjusting to getting staff back to work because there's still a significant number that aren't fully back. Now, that's partly down to their office not maybe being safe enough. So, I mean, we've been doing risk assessments for clients to make sure that they can say to staff, actually, our office is COVID safe, and also customers as well. But you're right, it does mean the flexi furlough gives you a way of being able to get staff back at different times, so that you don't have one group of staff at home all the time furloughed and one group back working, because then that builds up resentment.
Yeah.
Both sides, I mean, it's an interesting, I mean, that's another thing I think that's possibly in the future going to hit some employers, is this sort of resentment as to, well, why was I furloughed and they weren't furloughed? And I've been working all this time and they have been working all this time. So the flexi furlough has given an opportunity for employers to maybe find a way to avoid that happening, but also just to manage the office space more effectively as well.
Yeah. Are there understandable rules to flexi furloughing? I mean, could you bring someone in for a couple of hours a week, or is there a definite rule that they must do this or they must do that?
And also, can I add to that, Pam, what happens if you've got children at school? There might be another question there.
Yeah, so there's
not at
there
school,
was a restriction. There was a restriction initially on who you could furlough and use the flexi furlough for. So basically, it had to be somebody that prior to the 1st of July had spent at least 3 weeks on furlough, and also had done that before the 10th of June. So there were certain rules at that point. So as long as you met the requirements at that stage and you'd furloughed someone, you could then bring them back on flexi furlough. And actually, you've got a lot of flexibility. There aren't any restrictions restrictions on what you can do and what you can't do. So in terms of, you know, they could be furloughed for a couple hours a day, so you could have somebody in for half a day. And that might work well with somebody who maybe had to look after children and they were sharing childcare responsibilities with someone else, and that was a good way to sort of try and manage that.
Sure.
And I think since then, you know, we've seen a lot of employers have you know, brought staff back full time, but there's also a lot of people working from home as well.
Mm.
The challenge for employers, I think, has been making sure that they are actually they do furlough the staff properly. So,
yeah.
I mean, the HMRC have reported they had 38,000 tip-offs for furlough fraud, where basically somebody's claiming that they were made to work while they were furloughed, and they've rejected 30,000 of those claims as being dubious, as they called them. But there's still 8,000 employers being investigated. So, I think if you are going to use furlough, you had to make sure that you are using it properly, so you don't have the person working at all. Otherwise, you know, you could still face being investigated.
I think that even means they can't do social media for you.
Well, I was just going to say that the difficulty with this is that the working life now of emails and social media kind of overlaps people's personal lives.
Yeah. But perhaps this is a wake-up call, because perhaps it shouldn't be.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. But it's, you know, if people are at home, and are claiming they're working, but you don't think they are. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know? But they go, oh, no, but I was answering emails. You know, well, why were you answering emails? Well, because somebody emailed me.
Yeah. It's very difficult, isn't it?
That is a challenge for a lot of employers, because, I mean, I think, and that's fine if, you know, I mean, obviously, if it isn't generating income or revenue, I don't think HMRC would take the view that it's work. So their view is that if you're not providing services that generate income or could generate income or help to generate income or revenue for the business, then you're probably okay.
Yeah.
And obviously this tip-off line is designed, it will probably attract people that are disgruntled employees.
Yeah.
I think if you have been involved in staff working and let's say, for example, you go through a restructuring and they get made redundant, then they may well be the sort of people that will phone up HMRC and complain, and that's when you could get investigated. So it's quite serious stuff, because, I mean, HMRC can take criminal action against you if you've been doing that.
Yeah.
But you're right. I mean, how do you constrain somebody? You know, you've obviously got to give a direct instruction to them, say, you're not to do any work while you're furloughed.
Yeah.
And that's what, if you've not done that already, do that now.
Yeah.
Just repeat, you know, obviously during furlough you shouldn't have been working and we don't expect you to be working, so that everybody's clear that's the instruction that you've given the staff.
Yeah.
But were they able to, if they're furloughed by one company, were they able to go and do some freelancing with other companies, for example?
Yes.
That's odd.
I know a lot of people have found that really odd, because effectively you can get your furlough pay from one company and then go away and work somewhere else.
I know that happened quite a lot in the hospitality industry, where people were desperate for staff and suddenly they got staff who were furloughed in another company. Well, that's madness when you think of what the government's having to fork out, or what we'll be forking out in the future for that tax.
I think it's one of these things, they were working at such a pace, the government, and trying to generate...
Yeah.
You know, change rules, create new schemes. I think there's certain things I would describe that as you in a similar way to you, and say that it just didn't quite stack up.
Mm.
For some people, for other people, I mean, if you're only getting paid 80% of $2,500 in June or July, and your salary is normally significantly more, then that's quite a big pay cut you've taken.
Yeah.
So you could see why they would want to maybe go and supplement their wages and get another job and work elsewhere. And so I know some people have done that. But if you're earning around the 25,000 mark or less, then actually, you know, you were effectively getting almost, you know, 80% is still involved in a pay cut.
And not paying travel, probably not buying coffees out and lunches and what have you.
And of course, that's now coming through in a different way, because we're getting this resistance to going back to work. And I think part of that is because people they don't necessarily want to commute, or they don't want to pay the costs of commuting.
Yeah.
And they're
seeing their children at night. They're tucking their kids in at night, whereas before they were probably just coming home an hour on the train or whatever.
That's true. That's very true. I mean, I do wonder when we get into the dark nights and the colder weather, I do wonder whether there'll maybe be more desire to go back and meet other people, because if you're at home all the time, you know, and not getting out as much because the weather's not so nice, you might, you know, find that people have a different view of the partner and think,
But then, Pam, it can be looked at another way, because I know that my new husband, who normally travels vastly around, he's lost over a stone on lockdown because he gets up early at 5 a.m. instead of being at his desk immediately, because we've lost a few clients, he'll go windsurfing or paddleboarding and then come to work. He's not doing the commuting, and or if you're at home, you might spend your lunch hour, instead of, you know, going out for lunch or something, you might spend it walking or doing a bit of exercise in the daylight in winter. So there are lots of pros and cons going on,
and
aren't there?
Some of us have done the opposite.
Yeah, put on weight.
Some of us have lived in the fridge for 4 months.
Yeah, I have put on weight because I was... it sounds awful, doesn't it? I was drinking more. I was making a daiquiri in the evening and things. What I was trying to do was a work-life balance, so working from home, both of us, sharing an office.
I've heard it called some things in my life, but work-life balance.
So I was saying, right, I'll meet you in the garden at 6 p.m. We're going to stop work at 6 p.m. and we'll have a few olives and I'll make a little grapefruit daiquiri. And, you know, we were trying to, as if we were going out or doing something, that was lockdown. And I put on a stone and he lost a stone.
Oh, there you go.
But then I can't paddleboard.
So I want to talk a little bit now, Pam, if we may, about people that are returning to work and what employers have to think about in terms of making, well, you know, if we
making
talk about
making them feel safe.
Let's stick to office premises at the moment, because obviously there are different rules for different places like retail or manufacturing. But in an office space, what are we looking at in terms of trying to ensure that we have a safe space for people to return to?
Well, you've mentioned about government guidance. I mean, on the gov.uk website, there is a lot of specific guidance about, you know, what you should be doing. And, you know, you should be doing a risk assessment, and you should be going through your entire office and assessing how safe it is to return. So there's lots of things you can be doing. For example, you need to be looking at whether you can have people sitting back to back, because that's better than facing each other. If you can't avoid people facing each other, can you put up a screen? So you'll see, obviously, the glass screens when you go into shops. Those businesses, I mean, some of those, obviously, are one of the beneficiaries, so to speak. Also, I know some businesses have changed what they did to move into these sort of screen operations. But, I mean, they're worth looking at. There's quite a lot of people locally that are now creating them and come and fit them. You've got other things, obviously, you know, like... you know, wipes and cleaning, how much, you know, what a lot of businesses have had to obviously increase.
Terrible for your nail varnish, Pam.
Oh, I know. Well, rubber gloves are your solution there, you know, you've got to get disposable gloves. But you've got to think it through from, you know, literally walking through the front door to your office. How safe is it? You know, how many times are people wiping down the doors? You know, it's really, really basic all the way through. Then once you're satisfied, you've got to put up a COVID-safe poster to basically say, you know, I'm confirming that I believe this office is, you know, a COVID-safe office.
Sure.
So it's quite, I mean, there's quite a lot to it, and I think it's quite a lot for smaller businesses to take on as well in terms of doing the risk assessment.
And I was saying a while back that perhaps some of the furlough money could have been spent by the government early on to give the money to offices and that to actually make their offices COVID safe at the beginning.
There is some grant funding available
now?
For two things, for HR and things like that, and there's also some grant funding available for technology to help with that. Interesting points you make there, Pam. Dan Juby and his team at Spinnerjet have been fogging offices to make them COVID safe on a regular basis. One interesting thing, my space, Fruitworks, which is a co-working space in Canterbury, we put up acrylic screens in between the desks.
Quite early on did that.
Yeah, we did it straight away, even though there was no one working there. But we got it done while it was empty so that people could come back safely. Interesting.
But the other thing...
Interesting though, when I was in France, because here in England, most of the supermarkets around the tills and things like that have big plastic screens. In France, they've used cling film. Everywhere you go, they've just stretched cling film across it. And I thought, well, that was a bit easier, wasn't it? Rather than having to build a frame. frame and nail plastic to it. They just covered and everything in cling film.
Are they replacing it every day, or are they just keeping one piece of cling film until it tears?
I think they're replacing it every day. I would hope so. Otherwise, it's not going to be very effective. But it just interesting how they took a different approach to it. And obviously, it wasn't just one place we saw that. Everywhere we went, we saw that they'd use cling film instead of acrylic. So interesting.
Yeah. I do wonder, though, whether... I mean, I think you can look at the physical side of returning to an office, you know, and how you can make it, you know, safe from that, you know, people actually walking through the door and feeling like they're not going to, you know, get the virus. But the other thing you've got to deal with is people's mental states in terms of, you know, whether they feel safe in themselves. Now, one of the biggest challenges, I think the government has been successful, probably aided by some of the media, in making people very fearful of catching it. And that's something that employers need to deal with. So we've got HR medical specialists that work as part of our HR team, and they're nurses that have been trained in HR, and they're working with some clients who've got employees who are really scared about coming back to work. But sometimes they're not admitting they're scared, you know, because they're maybe trying to find another excuse as to why, or a reason as to why they're not coming back. But actually what's underlying it is a real fear. And that's something that I think is still there for a percentage of people. And that's it's difficult getting them back. And obviously, as I say, we're working with clients to try and overcome that. And that does mean some individual counselling.
It's the confidence, isn't it?
Yeah,
the confidence to start putting your mascara on, getting in the car. Just that discipline of going back or getting on the train. I think public transport is a real issue, too.
And I think it's just making the first move, isn't it? It's just getting out the door, getting into the office.
Yeah,
it's that far. I mean, we've had some people back. We've got half our staff back. We haven't got them all back, and we're gradually bringing them all back in. And it is that they've all said the same. It's actually just walking through the door for the first time, and then once they're back, they said they're really happy.
It's interesting, though, isn't it? Because you've got some people that have the facilities that have actually enjoyed working from home and don't want to give it up.
Yeah.
Because it is better, you know, for them personally, they feel better working from home.
And there again, my daughter, who's manages a team in sales, she had at the point of lockdown, she had some of her team phoning her in tears at night because they had their kids on sort of iPads and things while they were trying to work, and they were feeling really guilty, and they were phoning my daughter up in tears and saying, you know, my kid has been stuck on an iPad all day because I'm trying to do my targets. So there were all sorts of things for parents at home with young children.
I mean, it's been an interesting 6 months of social experimenting here with all kinds of things.
And strangely, the weather has been incredible. We've had a really good summer, certainly in Kent. But I don't feel that I've had a summer because I haven't been on holiday properly.
I think Pam made the point there, though, that once the... you know, it's now not going to get light after 8 p.m. now until next April. You know, as we move into autumn and winter, I think people's attitudes is going to change quite drastically. It's one thing, well, I'm saying this, I'm not asking anybody else to say it, but there's a lot of people have just had a 5 month paid holiday.
Yeah, they're all on my beach.
They've all been on Whitstable Beach.
I was furious, I was gritting my teeth as I was working. They're all out there drinking wine and deck chairs being paid.
So, you know, it's one thing being furloughed or being working from home during the summer. It's a completely different issue.
When you've got to have your heating on.
When the heating's on, and also we've been now doing it along time, and now everybody's getting, you know, stir crazy, and we need kids to go back to school, but then there's the worry of them going back to school and all the different things like that. So from your point of view, Pam, you're offering counselling and health support for people. How prevalent is that? Are you seeing a lot of call for that at the moment?
On the counselling side, we're beginning to see an increase in people seeking out some counselling, and I think it's around the areas we talked about, you know, being at home, and also, you know, the guilt around, you know, not being able to look after the children properly.
Sure.
There's also a challenge, I think, for younger staff as well. They're often in, you know, shared flats. They're maybe having to...
Working on their beds.
So you're going to, you know, there's going to be a physical side to it as well because, you know, some people actually have been sitting in very poor, you know, with posture... issues, you know, there's that aspect too. So we're beginning to see that coming through on the health side of things. But, I mean, on the HR medical specialist side of things, I would say there's been quite a few issues involving depression and mental health issues, which some of that is related to, you know, trying to basically look after children, do homeschooling, try and do a job. And, you know, it all just becomes too much for some people. But the other side of it is around people that are, you know, maybe have some pre-existing condition and are very fearful about going back to work. How do we, you know, reassure them? Or, you know, is there something else they need? Maybe they do need additional counselling. So it's looking at those two things can overlap and you know, work together. But there's definitely been an increase because people are now, you know, employers are now looking at furlough coming to an end. And obviously, you know, at the end of October, that is it. That's it at the moment. But now it's the contribution is reducing. We are seeing an increase in employers sort of thinking, well, actually, do we need everyone back?
Yeah.
And so there's, you know, that you're starting to see. I think you're going to start to see an impact again on people's mental health. And I mean, you know, some of the stats are quite worrying. You know, they're saying already that there's been a doubling of people, you know, suffering from depression during COVID. And I think some of that. Is because it's so new, people don't know what's happening, people don't like uncertainty, but I think some of it is also down to the fear and you know, all sorts of things, debt, concerns. So we start, you know, I think we'll start seeing things that are affecting people in their personal life, then knocking on to how they're feeling at work or feeling about coming back to work. So we're sort of anticipating there's going to be an increase in that. And then, of course, we're anticipating in January time, an increase in number of people, women being off having babies.
How did that happen?
Absolutely. I couldn't get to the doctor for contraception.
Yeah, something like that. Couldn't think of anything else to do. No, absolutely. And then, of course, on top of all of that, sadly, it looks like we're going to have quite a huge number of people that are actually unemployed as well.
And I think I was talking to a client this morning. And I do wonder whether, you know, Rishi Sunak will come out with some plan to try and incentivise businesses to recruit staff, because I think there's a concern that there'll be a lot of people laid off and getting taken on contracts, short-term contracts, because businesses don't know, you know, what's going to happen if we have a local, you know, local restrictions and people can't work. You know, there's a lot of, you know, uncertainty out there. So I wonder whether he will try and come back with something that actually tries to encourage more permanent recruitment so we get a bit more certainty, because obviously people are just doing contract jobs.
Yeah.
They're probably not going to get mortgages. That knocks onto the, you know, the housing market. There's a whole load of things that obviously are then impacted on. So it'll be interesting to see what happens over the next few months.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's absolutely true. But you're right. You know, the problem is, and I don't know how aware the government are of this in terms of their thinking about where they go. But of course, for those of us whose businesses have been destroyed, my businesses have taken a massive hit.
Gone down to a 3-day week.
It's not just a question of once they go, right, you can all go back to work, of picking up where you left off, because you can't. It's all gone. But not only that, we've then got to do things like catch up with the VAT we haven't paid and catch up with, you know, money that we owe and start to paying back loans and generating business and, you know, you've got no staff. So you're right, and it really, you know, in order to get out of this, and my opinion is one of the reasons that the government are still going with these things is they're trying desperately behind the scenes to work out some way of handling this so that the whole thing doesn't fall apart. Because you're right, we need something that says, you know, it's like I just in a different way. I've just been on holiday to France. When I left to go, everything was hunky-dory. 4 hours before I'd set off to drive home, it all changed. And I know someone that actually booked 2 holidays in 2 different countries on the same day just to be sure that they could go to one of them.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, and you're just thinking, this is getting crazy, you know, and unless we have some definite things we can't make decisions as businesses. You know, people aren't going to hire people if they're going to get locked down again in 6 weeks' time. Yeah. They're just not going to do it.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen.
I have to say the trades are doing very well. You know, plumbers and that. My plumber, I've had to wait a couple of months for him.
Mm.
And my builder can't see me till December.
Yeah.
So, you know, well done the trades. They're still doing really well.
Oh, no, some people have done well out of it, you know.
Delivery drivers.
Delivery drivers and retail and things like that. And Amazon. Amazon have doubled their income.
Yeah.
But, so coming back to Lock Associates Group and the range of things you do, Pam, it seems to me that you've got quite, you know, most of the bases covered here in terms of what you do. So if people want to find out more about your services and how they can utilise them, what's the best way of contacting you?
Well, you can either, the best thing to do is have a look at our website, and you can find that at www.lochassociates.co.uk, and it's Loch, L-O-C-H, spelt the proper Scottish way, even so I think it's actually originally a German name. So it's www.lochassociates.co.uk, and you can also email info@lochassociates.co.uk, and you can get hold of us that way.
Fantastic.
We people are our businesses, our strapline, and that's what we're all about, is trying to make sure you get the most out of people.
Fantastic. We've put those details, those contact details, on the radio website, so they're there for anybody. If you didn't write them down and you want to find out more about what Pam and her team can offer you, then all the contact details are on the radio website. For the moment, Pam, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Oh, thank you for your time.
Yeah.
Have a good day.
And let's do that Burns Night one.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
A Scottish special.
Paul and I can do a reel.
Yeah.
Or two.
Yeah. You don't want to see me in a kilt, I tell you.
We have that on YouTube.
Have a great day, Pam.
Cheers,
Thanks
Pam.
Thanks very much. Take care. Bye. Yeah,
take care. Bye-bye.
That was Pam.
Pam Lock there, of Lock Associates Group.
We nearly did a duet then, didn't we?
We almost did it.
Have you noticed that Pam's surname is spelt L-O-C-H, like a lock.
Yeah, like a big pond.
So I wonder whether her family and ancestors, you know how you have names in the olden days like Wheeler, and whether they were lock keepers or you know, somebody, something to do with a lock. Because how would you get that
name? Well, she just said it was German.
Well, I know, but, you know, we all know the Scottish name for a great big lake is a loch.
Yeah, true.
Tell you what, some of those lochs are huge. Ness's one is absolutely huge. Loch Ness. Really huge.
Did you see the monster?
No, I didn't. I spent ages looking, but no sign.
Were they hiding from you?
We did talk about it quite a bit. Did you know, Paul Andrews, it's September is Thyroid Cancer Awareness.
Oh, don't start that.
It is actually Thyroid Cancer Awareness Month. So check your necks, people, for any goiters or any little lumps there. Because apparently thyroid cancer is increasing, but if caught early, can be treated successfully. Educate yourselves. You can go to thyroid.org.uk.
Right, I'm going to read a tweet and then you're going to read an email.
Okay.
Yeah. This is from the Recovery Well Complementary Therapy, and their Twitter handle is Recovery Well. And they say, please, Vanilla Webb, could you mention a national campaign, Massage Therapists Together, is live from today, with therapists, including the Recovery Well Fannet, offering a number of free treatments for NHS staff. So that's Recovery Well in Thanet and other massage therapists offering free treatments to NHS staff, and that's launched today. If you want to find out more about it, give them a follow on the Twitter. Their Twitter handle is Recovery Well, WELL.
Right, let me read an email. God, I haven't done this for a while, Paul Andrews.
There you go.
Apart from at home when I couldn't find my glasses. Enter the BEAMS, that's BEAMS, Summer Virtual Raffle, so that we can support more families of disabled children that are in need this summer, they say. And COVID-19 has had a devastating effect on vulnerable families in Kent this summer, and many have been unable to leave their homes, which has led to extreme distress and, in some cases, family breakdowns. So now, more than ever, they need our help. Please enter the BEAM Summer Virtual Raffle and show your support. It's only £2 a ticket to enter, and once you've purchase your tickets, please visit wearebeams.enthuse.com/virtual raffle. And that will be on the Kent Business website after the show, if it's not already. And they say there's some fantastic prizes. There's a £100 Blue Water voucher. There's a voucher for Highlights Hair Salon. Who doesn't need that after lockdown? There's a £25 voucher for Paula the Florist. Who doesn't need that after lockdown? £20 voucher for Beautiful Nails in Dartford. Another thing we need after lockdown. A £10 voucher for Davenport's Hair and Beauty. And breakfast for two at Bella Venezia in Dartford. Lovely. Fruit and vegetable hamper from Stanhill Farm Shop in Wilmington. Where's Wilmington?
It's near Bexley.
Near Bexley. And the closing date is the 30th of September. You've got loads of time. They'll draw the tickets on the 1st of October. And you can contact them, if you want, at the We Are Beams, B-E-A-M for mother, S for sugar, .org. And the number is 01322 521 049. So get involved. Just £2 a ticket. And there's some amazing prizes, Paul Andrews.
Absolutely.
I would like to win those.
The Federation of Small Business Kent, maximise your membership with What's In It For Me event. It's taking place on Wednesday the 9th of September, 11am to 12pm. Now more than ever is the time to make sure that you're making the most of your FSB benefits and membership. If you want to register for this free event, go to fsb.org.uk/event-calendar/FSB-Kent. What's In It For Me. So that's fsb.org.uk/event-calendar/FSB-Kent. What's In It For Me. Do check that out if you want to know if you're making use of all your membership benefits. I've had a tweet from Green Business Hub. Do you offer accredited green or sustainable environmental products and services and want to reach more customers? Check out our new Green Business Hub platform. Their Twitter handle is Green Biz with a Z Hub, and the website is greenbusinesshub.eco, E-C-O. So greenbusinesshub.eco. Check them out. If you offer green or environmentally accredited services or products, you can list them on that website.
The next meeting of the Marsh Network, which will be online virtually, is at 10:30. It's on Wednesday the 2nd, so that's manana, in the Zoom room. Booking is essential, they say, and please book now to reserve your place. At you can either get a free ticket or a charity donation ticket, and they'll send you the link to join nearer the time. So they say join us and give and receive support, grow your contacts, network and your business. Go to www.marshnetwork.co.uk, or you can go, they've got a little app you can go on if you want to, and that's marshnetwork.imobile.one. See you at the meeting, says Terry. That's Terry Botty.
Terry Botfield, TD Botty on the Twitter. I've had a tweet from the lovely folks at Athelbray, and they say, Vanilla Web, Jill Serkin, Business Bunker, our staff wellbeing mental health questionnaire is now available for anyone interested. Designed for businesses to assess how their staff are coping, which is a nice follow-on from what Pam was talking about. By having the evidence available, organisations can put support in place. Thanks ever so much. So if you want to find out about that, give them a follow on the Twitter, Athelbray Limited, A-T-H-E-L-B-R-A-E-L-T-D. Is their Twitter handle, Athelbray Limited, on the Twitter. Give them a follow and find out about their questionnaire.
They're lovely chaps. And they were on our Business Bunker show a while back, weren't they?
They were.
It was about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I was thinking when Pam was talking, actually, about hospitality, because with the 80%, of course, a lot of them have missed out on their tips. Yep. Same with probably with hairdressers. And
missed out on their what?
Tips.
Oh, tips.
Tips. Because, you know, I know my niece, who works in a hotel up north, she gets about another £300 a month with tips. Yeah. So for her, it was quite a struggle, I think, at times with rent and stuff that she pays.
Absolutely. Tracy Ferguson's been on, Tassie 64.
Hello.
She's listening live whilst painting her walls. And she's got a nice gif here of Pink Panther painting a column pink and blue.
She's been painting for quite a while, that.
Yeah, thing. She's been doing really well.
Of course, Tracy is the owner of Plucky's World. And she is also a tutor and a trainer, and she'll help you with your self-awareness. She's a personal development coach. She's a member of the Prince's Trust, and she's a lifelong learner, as well as a painter.
Fantastic. And she's an all-round lovely person.
She's gorgeous.
Do you know what? We're going to hear these messages and then join the Channel Radio News. room. When we come back, we've got another guest to talk to.
Can't wait.
What do you reckon?
Yeah, I reckon it's ZC Social Media next.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews. This is Channel 2.
Flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. Fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.